have all the visitors in the house today, we want you to make yourself right at home. It would be in the perfect will of God for you to leave this place filled up and overflowing with the Holy Ghost today. That's the promise and the gift of God that He has for you. Praise God. Brother Stringfellow, we are glad that you're in the house. We want you to come. We want you to take your liberty pastoring a growing church in the city of Dallas, Texas. Well, it's Arlington, actually. And some of you may already know a little history here. Brother Cliff's mother and stepfather, Brother Thornton, pastored that church until his death from cancer. And now Brother Stringfellow has taken over the pastorate of that church in a bustling, very, very wonderful area of the Dallas metro. And we believe he's going to have great revival there. But when I used to look up your name in the directory, it used to say, was it Wolf Creek Road? They had something about that in the directory. But I thought, what a splendid place to be from. Wolf Creek Road. Sounds like it's news to you. Well, that's life in the UPC, my friend. So, this morning we want you to come, and whatever God has spoken to your heart, that's what we want to hear. Everybody that wants God to talk to your heart and your home and your family today, you say amen. Praise God. Point at him and tell him, preach to me, preacher. That's the charge. Come on, Brother Stringfellow. We're glad that you're here. Take your liberty in the house today.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Somebody told me the key to having good church is to make sure you're sitting by the right kind of people. So would you just shake the hands of the people sitting there beside you and say, aren't you glad you're sitting by me this morning? Would you do that for me? You came to have church today. There may be some hand clapping, there may be some dancing, there may be some shouting, but it's all right to let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We give God praise here today. Well, you may be seated. It is good to finally make it. I told someone this morning, I said, it's good to be here. And they thought that was just a cliche, but it's really good to be here. I was starting to get curious as to what it was that the enemy was trying to keep me away from. Because every time I got ready to come, it seemed like the wheels just ran off. But it is good to finally be here and to worship the Lord with you. Such an exciting atmosphere. I've heard all the rumors about this place, and so far they're all true. This is an exciting group of people, and we give God praise for all that He is doing. I bring you greetings from the hood. Right in the bad part of Dallas-Fort Worth, right in the heart. Not too far from the stadium, but yet we're just hoodish. Had a lady come in not too long ago, sit down on the front row, light up a misty about that long. I don't want y'all thinking I don't pastor a spiritual church because the glory cloud filled the sanctuary. One of my ushers said, I know y'all have sane folks in Alabama, but one of my ushers, I just, you know, kind of motioned to, you know, maybe talk to her, and he came up to me after service. He said, Pastor, he said, be thankful that lady was respectful to the house of God. I said, really? He said, yes. He said, she did leave her beer in the foyer. Sitting right there by the visitor cards. Tall boy, old Milwaukee. I give God praise, for where sin did abound, the grace of God doth much more abound. feel revival in this place here today. Can I get a few of you praise singers back up here to help me just a moment before I preach? I'm fixing to go old school on y'all because I got to know where I am here. This is my first introduction to this church, and I got to kind of know where everybody's at. You may be seated just a moment. As a matter of fact, I don't want you to stand up when we start singing because I found out y'all got a short fuse around here. Most churches, you got to pump and prime and plead and coach, and y'all don't need much. That's a good problem to have. How many remember when the Lord saved you? When he baptized you in the Holy Ghost? Now, see, I told y'all don't be standing up. Now, y'all, y'all sit down because I got to find out where I'm at here. How many of you remember the day that he saved you? Remember the day that he saved you? Now, listen, sit down. Don't just start standing when the beat starts. I want you to listen for your day. And when you hear your day, then you can keep standing. But don't stay until you hear your day. I'm going to take you back about 100 years. What key you in, sis? You and G? We can make G happen. Give it to me loud and clear. I'm an evangelist. I can't hear no more. Y'all know how to hit that old school beat like old time church. We're fixing to hit it right now. Said I was tearing at the altar when the fire fell. The fire fell. When the fire fell. I was tearing at the altar when the fire fell. When the Lord baptized me. Well, it was Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Sit down. When the fire fell. When the fire fell, when the fire fell, it was Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. When the fire fell, and the Lord baptized me. Well, it was on a Monday when the fire fell. Come on, Monday, folks. When the fire fell, when the fire fell, it was on a Monday when the fire fell. And the Lord baptized me. Well, it was on a Tuesday when the fire fell. When the fire fell. When the fire fell. It was on a Tuesday when the fire fell. And the Lord baptized me. Any Wednesday folks here? Well, it was on a Wednesday when the fire fell. When the fire fell. Well, it was on a Wednesday when the fire fell and the Lord baptized me. Well, it was on a Thursday when the fire fell, when the fire fell. Come on, Thursday, folks. Well, it was on a Thursday when the fire fell and the Lord baptized me. Well, it was on a Friday when the fire fell, when the fire fell, when the fire fell. It was on a Friday when the fire fell, and the Lord baptized me. Any Saturday folk here? Well, it was on a Saturday.
Fire fell.
Yeah, when the fire fell.
Come on, Saturday.
Fire fell.
Must be the rest of you. Well, it was on a Sunday.
Fire
well, when the fire fell.
Fire
well, now it was on a Sunday.
Fire fell.
Yeah, when the Lord baptized me. Well, I was tearing at the altar when the fire fell. When the
fire fell.
Well, when the fire fell. Tearing at the altar.
Fire fell.
When the Lord baptized me.
Would you give him praise for that day? Woo! Somebody that hadn't lost the joy of your salvation, go ahead and give him a great big hand of praise in the house of the Lord. Well, anybody still excited about it? Still happy about it? Still rejoicing over it? Woo! I'm really glad you already been to the water. You already been baptized. You already been filled with the Holy Ghost. Woo! Slap somebody and tell them, I'm glad he saved me. I'm glad that the Lord saved me. Well, get a Bible in your hand. We're going into the Word of the Lord here today. Woo! I like y'all already. I do give honor to your pastor for the opportunity and the privilege to come to preach the word of the Lord to you. There is such an excitement in the atmosphere of what the Lord is doing in this place. The book of Acts, chapter number 16. I want to take you home here today. When I read my text, my brother was leading service here today, and I thought he was going to preach my message. I said, Lord, bind him up a little bit. don't let him preach all in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Let every word be established. Amen. Acts chapter number 16. And say praise the Lord. Verse number 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. They weren't silent about it. They weren't embarrassed. Bible said the prisoners, those that were in captivity, those that were locked up, the Bible said the prisoners heard them. And verse number 26, the word of God declares that suddenly, somebody shout suddenly. Somebody say that means right now. Here's another one of God's suddenly. It's verse number 26, and suddenly. See, the old folks used to say stuff like, he's on time. Like what God does, he doesn't do it down the road, around the bend. See, the devil's got us waiting on some mythical pot of gold at the end of some fictitious rainbow where we're someday, one day, hope so, maybe so, might be so. Whenever God gets ready, I ain't even read my text yet. Y'all don't mess with me. Whenever God gets ready to do whatever it is he wants to do, he does it. He does it right now. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prisons was shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. For the sake of time, I will not endeavor to read all of this, but I think I already got all I need. There's so many messages I could come in here and preach. But I want to preach something that is relevant to where you live. I evangelized since Ned was a pup. And I scream and holler and do somersaults and all that's great. But a little pastoring has helped me realize in the middle of all that screaming, you need to say something. Because there's people that are sitting in this building here today that are dealing with some real stuff. I have preachers come preach for me, and they do a great job. They preach cute little messages, but many times they're preaching stuff that it was good 20 years ago. You understand what I'm saying? I want to preach something that is relevant to where you are living right now, because you are fighting a real foe that is out to kill, he's out to steal, and is out to destroy. Your fighting a real enemy. There's some people that are standing in this building here today that need some real help with some real stuff. And I pray the Holy Spirit is about to minister in this place here today. I really feel like there's some people that may have walked in this building here today as a last resort. And you said, I'm going to try one more time. I believe God is about to encourage. He's about to strengthen. He's about to raise up in this place. Would you just place your Bible down, and if you're a hand raiser, would you lift those hands up high? And don't just lift your hands, but throw your head back and lift your voice. And with a shout of triumphant victory, go ahead and praise God right now in advance for what He's about to do. Have you seen it? No, I haven't seen it, but I know it's on the way. Come on, let the redeemed of the Lord open your mouth and lift your voice and give Him praise. Bless your name, Lord Jesus. Bless your name, Lord Jesus. Well, turn around, shake as many hands as you can shake, and shake them like you're going to shake them off, and tell them something good is about to happen to you. Would you do that? There's a guest that's sitting there near you. Put a smile on your face. Let them know we are honored today by their presence. Thank you for coming and being in the house of the Lord with us here today. We give God praise for you. We rejoice in what God is about to do in you. And one more time, could we give Jesus a great big hand of praise all over this house? I bless you, Lord Jesus. I bless you, Lord Jesus. I'm afraid if somebody couldn't preach in this church, they might need to just give it up. What a great atmosphere. The presence of the Lord is here. You may be seated. God bless you for standing for the reading of the word of the Lord. What time y'all usually get out around here? Y'all saying that now and your rose starts burning. Y'all go. Big churches start beating y'all to them restaurants and you got to stand there. Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Acts chapter number 16. And verse number 6 begins to speak of a journey that Paul begins to endeavor upon to see a revival that God has promised to him. And the Bible says that he is passing through Galatia, and they are forbidden. The Bible said they are forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word of the Lord in Asia. They wanted to go east. That's where that was. But the Holy Ghost, the Bible says, forbid them to go. Have you ever tried to do anything, endeavor to do anything, try to do anything, and God said, verse number 7 says that the Spirit of the Lord suffered them not to go. And what is amazing to me here is the fact that Paul, after God says no, Paul tries to go again. Oh, nobody's going to talk to me about that, are you? Has God ever said, wait a minute, and you... I think that if Paul would have tried to go again and asked God if he could have gone, I think God would have backed up and said, okay, here's why I think that. If you continue to try to pull something out of the hands of God, and you keep pulling, God will finally stand back and give it to you. And some of the married folks said amen. That's all right. Just sit there and act confused. Look straight ahead. Nobody know I'm talking to you. But you had to have Henry. There wasn't nobody like Henry. Nobody smelled like Henry. Nobody talked like Henry. You had to have Henry. And God said, no, you can't have him. He's not good for you. But you kept on pulling and... until God said, there you go. And now that you got it. See, I was a good evangelist. I started pastoring and it messed me up. but I'm going to help somebody before I leave. When you continue to try to fix something that God said is mine, you continue to try to pull something away from God that God said it doesn't belong to you, you get yourself, can I just give you some southern vernacular? You get yourself in a mess. Like them two guys is drinking at the bar, both of them sitting there together, both of them crying. One of them was crying because he lost Sarah. Y'all married. And the other one was crying because he got her. Can I just tell some people in this building right now that are just troubled in your spirit because it seems like God won't say yes and God won't say no and God would just tell you yes or God would tell you no, you'd know exactly what to do. Can I just preach right now and tell you, you got to just keep putting one foot in front of the other. You got to inhale, you got to exhale and understand that the steps of a good man are a good, I don't think it's gender conscious, they are ordered of the Lord, and God who hath begun a good work in you is able to finish what it is that he started. Now there's some things that are stop signs. That's just no. That's a red light. Don't go. There's some things that are yellow light. They're forbidden. God says slow down. But you cannot afford to keep trucking when God says stop. I hear all these ministers now, and they're preaching about go, 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 go. And that's all right, well and good. There's times you got to move into the will of God. But you know what Paul did? Paul backed into the will of God. You ever stepped into the perfect will of God and then look back on it and you don't know how you got there? Because as my brother said today, you didn't get there by your intellect. You didn't get there by your ability. I knew what it was to be a young preacher and start evangelizing and didn't have a daddy that pastored a big church and didn't have any family in the presbytery and didn't know an uncle to call and get me a revival. And I grew up around a bunch of young preachers that told me, it's all in who you know. And I found out some 15 years later, they were right. It's all in who you know. I want to tell some people in this building right now that if you know Jesus Christ and you're listening to his voice, he said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, but I'm going to be with you. Don't jump ship, don't throw in the towel, and my good God, don't be playing Mother May I with the devil. God is going to bring you through what it is that you're going through right now. And if you back into it, back into it. If you step into it, step into it. But the important thing is that you find the will of God. Is this all right? Y'all sit down. Y'all taking up my preaching time. We never praise God for closed doors. A lot of people backslide over closed doors. Quit church because they prayed over something, poured some oil on it, got three people to agree on it, and it didn't happen. And when it didn't happen, they blamed God for it. Can I talk to some people right now and tell you sometimes a closed door is the will of God in your life? Oh, I'm not going to get no help right there. Can I tell you sometimes when God closes a door and God says no or God says back up, sometimes that's the answer to the... Now, we don't want that answer. We don't like that answer. We don't give God praise. But could somebody give God praise in here over a door that didn't open? Could somebody give God praise over the job that you didn't get? Over the relationship that didn't work out? Over the things that you cried over and you prayed over and you asked God to change and nothing happened? Can we talk about this? Y'all sit down. There's some folks can't see. Y'all stand up so much, y'all got people just can't see. Listen to me. I grew up around church. I grew up, I remember laying under the pews and so bored, counting gum that people had stuck under the pews. Grew up around this thing all my life. I heard all them stories
about people on the way to church and run out of gas and get out and lay hands on the car and speak in tongues a little bit and get back in the car and the car crank and they go on to a revival meeting. I heard all them stories. I heard all those stories about being diagnosed with cancer and the doctor saying you got 2 months to live and the preacher prays over you and all of a sudden the cancer's gone. That's why some doctors don't like some preachers, because the doctor says there's cancer there and the preacher lays hands on you and says in the name of Jesus, no, it ain't, look again. And then they got one x-ray with a tumor and the other x-ray, no tumor, and they can't explain it. I grew up hearing all those stories about parents rearing children and children going wayward and taking their name and laying it on an altar and praying over it and saying, God, save my children. And the next service, they walk in, come to an altar, repent of their sins, watch God fill them with his spirit. That's some wonderful testimonies. Here's what nobody talks about. What do you do when you're on the way to church and you run out of gas and it's raining? And you get out in your high heels and you lay hands on the car and speak in tongues a little bit and you get back in the car and the car don't crank. Oh, y'all not going to get honest with me this morning? Y'all want me to tell some ghost stories and tell y'all see some angels? What do you do when no angels showing up? Let me ask you, what do you do when you pray over the cancer and the cancer spreads? Come on, I need some people to get real with me right now. What do you do when your kids are acting the fool and you're praying over them and you're fasting over them? And they're still on drugs and they're still on alcohol and they're still... What? Can we just talk? What do you do before midnight? Paul and Silas saying, hallelujah. Oh, their hands were in chains and their feet were in fat. Oh, but what do you do before midnight? What do you do when you're praying about stuff and ain't nothing changing? I'm going to get your attention before I leave. What do you do when you're asking God to change something? And the relationship in your marriage is getting worse instead of better. And you're still coming to church and you're still paying your tithe. And you know what the devil will do? The devil will come sit down on your shoulder and say, God don't love you and God don't care. And you'll start trying to bring up past and trying to make you think you brought it on yourself. That's what the enemy loves to do more than anything else. You'll try to bring something way out up under the blood and put it back and say, remember? Kids ain't living for God because it's your fault. And your marriage is going bad because it's your... He is an accuser. Amen. Y'all sit down, let me talk to you. Can I tell you, there's some people that look at situations and they look at circumstances of life and they predicate whether they are in the will of God or whether they are out of the will of God totally upon the circumstances of their life. The bills are paid. The marriage is good. The children are acting right. I'm in the perfect will of God. Ain't nobody coming to get nothing. Nobody calling about no credit card. I'm in the perfect will of God. But the job, the boss walks into your job on Monday morning and says, I know you've been here 25 years, but and they're doing it every day. See you when I see you, wouldn't want to be. He turns around, walks out. And the job that you missed church over and prayer meetings over and evangelism over, the job that you gave your guts to, they give you a gold watch and they walk out on you. You wake up and the proverbial rug has been pulled out from beneath you and the devil says you must have failed God somewhere. But listen to me when I tell you that if circumstances alone meant you were in the will of God or meant you were out of the will of God, then most of the Old Testament and New Testament prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists spent most of their time out of the will of God. There's a church in Tulsa, Oklahoma right now, huge, massive, big church. Splitting right down the middle right now because the pastor all his years taught that if you live for God, nothing bad would ever happen to you. He died a few weeks ago and the church is splitting right down the middle because he taught them for years that if you were saved, you were eliminated from the problems of life. Can we just talk old school? It's going to rain on the just and it's going to rain on the unjust. And some of you right now are going through some stuff you don't understand and you don't have an answer for. And the devil's sitting on your shoulder telling you you failed God. Not so. As a matter of fact, you may be more in the will of God right now in your life than you have ever been before. That preacher's preaching right now. You're serving God. You're going to get the keys to the new Cadillac and your check's in the mail. What do you do when there's no check in the mail?
Well, I tell you what, I picked the wrong message today. I should have got one of them introduction messages. Blow y'all some kisses, but we're going to get real because I'm going to help somebody here today. What do you do? I tell you, Paul, how you doing? Paul said, let me testify. I ain't sitting on the platform in no conferences. They ain't putting my picture in no magazines. I ain't on the cover of Time. But I took 39 stripes 5 times. And I've been beat with rods 3 times. And I've been stoned once. And I spent a night and a day in the deep in perils among false brethren and fastens off and deaths off. I don't know how he died off, but he said he did. And on top of all that, he said, I got all of the cares of the churches on me. But he said, I'll tell you this, I know in whom. Not in what, but in whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that I have committed unto him against that day. Hey, somebody in this building is about to rise up, stand up to be seen and speak loud to be heard and say, devil, I may be knocked down, but I've never been knocked out because I know God loves me. I know God cares. I've already settled the sin question. I've already been to the water. I've already been baptized. I've already been filled with His Spirit.
Does this make any sense? What do you do just before midnight? And nothing is happening. Not now. You may be seated. I'm sorry to keep saying that, but I'm trying to go somewhere. What do you do when you're Paul and you've got a vision that God says, I'm going to pour out my spirit. I'm going to give you revival. Now, Paul is even ethical about it in the fact that he goes to his elders. And he says, God has given me a dream there's going to be revival in this particular area. And even though he feels it is from God, he is still respectful in the fact that he runs it through the leadership and he runs it through the ministry of his church. I'm talking about the preacher's preacher and the pastor's pastor and the evangelist's evangelist. Before he does anything, he says, I got to make sure I'm right with the man of God. I've got to be right with the leadership in my life before I make a move. Was that good? That's good. Some of that pastoring stuff coming out here. The elders look at Paul and say, you're blessed. This is God. We want you to go. You're going to have revival. Paul gets on this boat thinking, as soon as my feet hit the sandy seashores, all of a sudden people are going to be healed. Blind eyes are going to be opened. There's going to be people coming in by the thousands And Paul gets off the boat, and there ain't nothing going on but a little women's prayer meeting. But it was a red hot women's prayer meeting. And they're down there casting the devil out of a woman. Here's Paul getting off a boat thinking he's going to have revival, and he runs into a devil-possessed woman. Don't say nothing. How many times have you walked into a red hot service getting ready to praise God like you ain't never praised God? And before you get to where it is God wants you to be, all of a sudden the enemy has already planned. Is it just me, or does it seem like just before we get to where it is God has been trying to position us to be, just before we get there, does it seem like to you like it seems like to me like all of hell has just been kind of sitting there waiting on us to get there? I passed like a rock's throw almost from that new Cowboy Stadium. They ain't no good, but we still praying for them. Keep them in your prayers. I'm sorry. Tony Romo can roll back in the pocket. Matter of fact, he rolled back in his own end zone. Hang it up high and pray for Roy Williams to catch one. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know your boy was Roy. They can pull Roy Williams down on the 1 yard line. I at least got the men listening now. Men been sleeping all day in church, but I only got it. Oh, baby, he said, Cowboy. They on the 1 yard line. You know what they do? They take out their regular defense and they bring in their goal line defense. They bring in the guys that don't have any neck. They like me, they just kind of got a head on some shoulders. They weigh 400 pounds. I don't know how they get in them little slick pants. And they lumber out on the field and they look at the offense and they say, you just took 99 yards away from us, just like that. But I bet you don't get the next yard that easy. You know why the enemy's fighting some of you the way he's fighting you right now? You know why the enemy's got planned assassins that are setting up attack ready for... Because if you don't know, the enemy knows that some of you are one step away from walking into the place that God has been trying to position you to get into for a long time. And so the enemy takes out his regular defense and he brings in his trained goal line assassins and says, I know you've been having good church. I know you've been having good revival. I know you got a lot of new guests visiting your church. But I bet you don't have revival as easy this year as you did last year. You know what's going to happen? Somebody's going to step back and say, you know what? I've come too far. I've cried too many tears. I prayed too many prayers. I believed God too many times to get to this point. Shake somebody's hand like you're going to shake it off and tell them, I've come too far. Look at somebody else, tell them, I've come too far. I've come too far to turn back now. I can't quit. I can't backslide. I can't throw in the towel. I can't walk away from the church. I got too much enemy blood dripping over my sword. And I know the enemy's doing everything that he can to try to kill and try to steal and try to destroy. But God has already ordained it. He's already set it into place. They arrest Paul because Paul just lays hands on the woman and said, in the name of Jesus, cast the devil out. That's some old time preaching right there. My generation, we got all them diplomas. And we try to sit up in the office and look over our glasses at you and act sophisticated, wrinkle our brow, and we try to counsel it out of you. Them old preachers, they didn't do no counseling. They lay hands on your heart and say, in the name of Jesus, I cast the devil out of you. Oh, see, I'm sorry. You wouldn't come. Them old preachers didn't play. Paul wasn't playing. Paul walked down there and laid hands on and cast the devil out. The counselor gets upset because he's, and they beat him and they put him in prison. That's how Paul and Silas got there. In the will of God, they weren't going to the mall. They weren't going shopping at Walmart. They're having a revival. They're in the will of God, and they find themselves locked up in a prison. Don't ever let anybody tell you. Sometimes when you're doing the will of God, you find yourself in places that you don't know how you got there. You don't know how you're going to get. But the Bible says at midnight. Y'all sit down, listen to me just a minute. Listen, at midnight. I've always heard a lot of times preachers preach midnight in a negative sense. But you start studying that Bible of yours, you'll find out that God did some incredible things at midnight. You know when God got Israel out of Egypt? After 400 years of slavery and bondage and being on the wrong end of a taskmaster's whip, you know when he got him out? Midnight. Here's where I got to take you. Put the blood on the doorposts. The angels coming through, but the Lord your God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. That young man testified, 19 years of old, at the age, could have been killed in a car wreck. But the Lord your God saw blood, and he passed over. I'm talking about the stuff that could have happened, that should have happened, that didn't happen, because the Lord walked down the darkened corridors of your life and he saw blood and he passed over. Is there anybody could give God some praise here for some stuff? Oh, come on, somebody. There's some people in this building right now that know if it hadn't have been for the grace and the mercy and the love of Jesus Christ, you'd already be in your grave or you'd sure still be on that bar stool. But God broke you out. Here's what's amazing to me. Is God said, I'm going to use the blood to deliver you. And all of a sudden they're putting blood. I'm talking about wet, red, crimson blood. They're putting blood on the doorpost. But when they put the blood on the doorpost, nothing happened. They're still in slavery. They're still hiding in their huddles. They still got chains on them. Here's what's worth your gas coming here today. This right here. They still trusted in the blood. Even when the blood was inactive. Well, really, in essence, the blood was never inactive. They just couldn't see the power of it. There are some of you right now have been asking God to do something, and you've been praying for God to do it, and you've been asking the Lord to change it, and you put the blood on there, and now you're looking, and you still got chains. And some of you are still living in depression and still oppression, and you still got stuff in your family that's going wrong, and you're saying, God, I put the blood on the doorpost. Yes, you did. But excuse my Mississippi vernacular. It ain't midnight yet. You got to trust God when you don't see anything happening. You got to trust God when you don't. Can I tell somebody there's something going on here that's more than what you see with a natural eye? It's more than what you hear with a natural ear. Well, I prayed about it and nothing happened. It ain't midnight yet. Keep on coming to church. Keep on believing God. Keep on praising God. Don't come in here saying, God, one day, Sunday. Go ahead and praise God in advance and say, God, I put the blood on the doorpost. And I don't know when, I don't know how, I don't know where. Look at somebody step, somebody say, it's almost midnight. It's almost midnight. Samson. Gaza, enemy gates, power of God hits him, and he grabs the gates of Gaza. The gates of the city meant the power of the city. That's why Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But he grabbed the very power of that city and he ripped them off its hinges and he took them to the hill of God at midnight. See, some of you right now, if the clock was about to strike 12, Cinderella, you'd go ahead and give God praise. But anybody can praise God after you've already seen it happen. It doesn't take a whole lot of spirituality that when the doctor said there's no cancer there for you to praise God. That doesn't take a whole lot of spirit. It doesn't take a whole lot of spirituality to praise God. You see, that's the way the world does it. Them cowboys, they don't go crazy and paint themselves up, party and all till the clocks run out. Politician, They don't pop the tops on the champagne and slap backs on all their little cronies until the last vote has been counted. You can ask some people about all that. Don't be making no acceptance speech till they get in Florida. Because there's some crazy stuff can happen down in Florida. I tell everybody I'm from Mississippi. So it's the only thing makes Alabama proud. Listen to me. God said that's the way the world does it. This is how I want you to do it. I want you to go ahead and get excited before you win. Have you seen it? No, I hadn't seen it, but I know it's on the way. Have you got it? No, I haven't. Hey, that's why some of you are confusing the devil right now by the way you're praising God, because the enemy knows what you're going through and the enemy knows what he's throwing against you, but you're blowing his mind right now, clapping your hands, standing up on your feet, lifting your voice with a shout of triumphant prayer. The devil doesn't know what to do, and I'll tell you, there's nothing he can do, because greater is he that is in you. Clap your hands, all you people. Lift your voice and shout. I wish somebody go ahead and praise God in advance. God, your credit is good with me. I hadn't seen it all. I hadn't received it all. But I'll praise you anyhow. Oh, come on, really praise him, everybody in this house. Some of you by the spiritual nap of your neck, and I'm pulling you up out of that despair. I'm pulling you up out of that defeat. I'm pulling you up out of that spirit of oppression and depression. Come on, somebody. Look at somebody else and say, it's almost midnight. It's almost midnight. What do you do before chains start falling off? What do you do when it's like 11:55? See, there's some of you right now, you can feel it. You're closer to the door than you've ever been before. This church is closer to the revival that you've been praying that God would send you a city. You are closer than you've ever been right now. There's some of you are closer to your prayers being answered. What are you talking about? I'm talking about whatever it is you're thinking about right now. You're closer to that happening than you've ever been before. And that's why the devil's got to try to discourage you right now. And he's got to try to intimidate you right now. Because if you don't know, the enemy knows that you are one step. Just pick one foot up and put another one down. Just pick. You might need a little exercise. Go ahead and take it. Let them think you're crazy. But while they're standing there thinking you're crazy, you're getting one step closer to a midnight hour. And what happens at midnight is all going to depend on what happens just before the clock strikes 12. Can you praise him at 11:55? Can you praise him at 11:56? Can you praise him at 11:57? Can you? God said it's almost midnight. I need a Paul. I need a Silas that'll say I'm still in the prison. I'm still in the chains. But I'll begin to praise you anyhow. Because you've been too good to me for me not to. With somebody on my left praising. With somebody on my right praising. Can I get a Paul or a Silas out of this center section to praise him? Come on, let everything that hath breath I need some ladies to praise him. I need some men to praise him. I need some young folks to praise him. It's almost midnight. It's almost midnight. It's almost midnight. I said it's almost midnight. Go ahead and bless the Lord at all times.
Well, preacher, I don't know what else to do. It feels like God just got me on hold. If God's got you on hold, make sure you don't hang up on him. Because the old folks said that it may not come. Can I preach like I'm home this morning? He may not come when you want him to, but he'll be there. Come on, Paul. Come on, Silas. I know it don't look like you're getting out. I know everybody says you won't get out. Come on, Paul. Talk to me. Paul got up and said, I'm going to have revival. All the saints gathered around and said, Paul, don't go. They're probably just going to beat you again. They're probably going to put you back in prison. They'll probably kill you this time. Paul said, I'm not only willing to go, I'm not only willing to be bound, but I'm willing to die. I can imagine sitting there in that jail cell. All the negativity, all the naysayers, all those that told him not to go in the first place, all those voices are ringing in his ears. Be careful who you're letting talk to you right now. Because you'll let somebody talk you into, or you'll let somebody talk you out of a midnight miracle coming to pass in your life. What we're going to do, Paul? What we're going to do, Silas? I think we need to praise the Lord. I just got this strange feeling that Brother Paul and Brother Silas were in there praising God long before. I know it was at midnight everything broke open. They got delivered. But I don't think they said, hallelujah, and the chains fell off. I think they were already praising God before the midnight hour. As a matter of fact, I think that's what got God's attention, is that they would praise him when nothing was happening. See, I used to preach this all wrong. I used to preach that Paul and Silas praised God so they could get out of prison. But I stand corrected. Paul and Silas didn't praise God so they could get out. They praised God so that God would come in. And they knew that if God ever gets in here, there ain't no chain. There's no fetter. There's no prison. There's no prison guard. There's no spear. There's no sword. Now listen. We're about to praise God in here right now. But I don't want you to praise God right now just to get out of what you're in. I want you to begin to praise God so that God would come in this place. See, I got this little scripture I read in that black book you call the Bible that says God inhabits the praises of his people. I don't want to have to beg nobody. I shouldn't have to plead with anybody.
God knows I shouldn't have to coach anybody into praising God. But if you're in this building and you've been in a prison cell and you feel like you've been locked up for a long time, but you've got something on the inside that says something is about to happen. I can't explain it. I don't understand it. But I feel my... See, that's why some of you looking at me right now with eyes like this big around. Because something inside of you has been saying to you for the last few weeks, something is about to change. Something is getting ready to turn around. Something... And then all of a sudden this crazy evangelist finally makes it and starts preaching to you the very thing that you've been... But you've been feeling's coming. It's almost midnight, y'all. Can you find a praiser standing there somewhere close to you? I don't want you to find some little dead cold frigid air going to watch you praise God, saying, I want you to find somebody that will help you praise the Lord. Look at that person standing there beside you and say, neighbor, don't watch me praise the Lord. David said, oh, come magnify the Lord. Look at your neighbor and say, with me. Look back at him and say, don't watch me, but worship with me. I want you to take your neighbor by the hand. You ready? See, something's about to happen in this place. Because some of you don't even realize it right now. But the clock is about to strike midnight for you. There's some of you that are standing in this building right now that have prayed for so long and you believe for so long and it seems like nothing's happening. God said, tell you, go ahead, praise me anyhow. It's almost midnight. Something is about to happen. Something is about... I want you to take your neighbor by the hand. Everybody got a hold of somebody. I want you to lift that hand up high as you can. And when you lift that hand up high, open your mouth and lift your voice and shout unto the Lord. It's almost. Go ahead, praise him in advance. Go ahead, praise him when nothing's happening. Go ahead, bless him when you don't see anything. When you haven't heard anything. When nothing's being revealed. Nothing's being spoken. I tell you, God said, it's almost midnight. God said, it's almost midnight. Go ahead, bless me. Go ahead, praise me. Go ahead. Feeling down in my soul.
It'll be all right.
Anybody feeling what I'm feeling? Anybody sensing what I'm sensing? If you're in this building and you feel like you're close to a midnight miracle, I want you to get out of that pew. I don't care if you've been in this church all of your life or this is your first service. I want you to lay your pride down. Forget about what anybody's going to say. Don't worry about what they're going to talk about on the ride home. And get down to this altar as fast as you can, because something... Come on, they're coming all over this building. They're coming all over this building. Come on, I don't care if you're a first-time guest. Come on down. Get on down here to this hall. There's something wonderful about to happen in this place. something wonderful about to happen. I want you to just reach over, grab hold of somebody. Everybody get a hold of somebody. Brother to brother, sister to sister, husband to wife. You've been praying. You've been believing. You've been being faithful. And nothing's happening. Nothing's changing. Nothing's turning. But God sent me here from the heart of Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas, to tell you that we've been may endure for the night, but the joy of the Lord is about to come. I feel it in my hands. I'm feeling it in my feet. I'm feeling it all over me. I want you to lay your hand on somebody's shoulder. I don't want you to beg God. I don't want you to plead with God. I don't want you to ask God for nothing. I want you to lay your hand on your brother. Lay your hand on your sister. And with everything you've got, I want you to begin to praise him. I mean praise him. I mean praise him. Come on, Paul. Come on, Silas. It's the midnight hour. It's time to bless him. There it is. There it is. There it is. It's almost midnight. I said it's almost midnight. Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Not by might, nor by power, but right now, by your spirit, it's almost midnight. I said it's almost. Go ahead, give God some praise. In the name of the crown of the head to the sole of the feet, let the power of the Holy Ghost, there it is, there it is. Midnight. It's almost. How many would wave at me? You got something you need God to do in your life. Physically, spiritually, financially. The Bible said faith is nigh unto you even in your mouth. He said, I've come to bless you. I don't want you to embarrass yourself. I don't want to embarrass anybody. But I want you to agree with something. I want you to just turn around and tell two or three people something you believe God to do in your life. I want you to turn around. If you've got children that are lost, turn around and tell them, I believe God's going to save my children this year. You're sick in your body, turn around and tell somebody, I believe God's going to heal my body. You got a financial need, turn around and tell somebody, I believe God is about to heal my finances. Whatever you need, turn around and tell. The Bible said, when two or three of you shall agree. Come on, mix some faith with somebody. Come on, that's it. Mix some faith with somebody. Mix some faith with somebody. God is not a man that he should lie. Neither is he the son of man that he should repent. down. Look back up here at me. Look back up here at me. Look back up here at me. I want you to turn around and look at those same people that you just gave your need to. And I want you to look them eyeball to eyeball and tell them that's what God wants to do for you. Right now. 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 I wish somebody go ahead and praise him. You want it? It's yours. By the way. By the way. That's why the Bible said, he that hath an ear, let it hear. Because if all you're hearing is the beat of the drum or the voice inflection of the preacher, you're missing the message. The word of the Lord is going forth in this building and some people right now. They're saying, God is about to move for you. This building, you never repented of your sins, you've never made Jesus Christ the king of your life. You're in this building here today and you've never been baptized in water, and the only name under heaven given among man whereby we must be saved. I want to challenge you in the conclusion of this altar call to get ready. Your pastor was talking today and something leaped at my spirit, knowing what I'm preaching. Wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes in divers places. So when you begin to see these things come to pass, I said, you better lift up your head. You better open your eyes. Because it's almost midnight. See, there's one last midnight I got to give you before I take my seat. The Bible said that at midnight there was a cry that went forth that said, behold, the bridegroom cometh. I got this feeling down deep in my soul that's saying soon, and very soon, we're going to see the king. Can I tell you that if midnight is a type of the rapture of the church, then the Bible said just before midnight, there was a cry. You know what I believe that cry is? I think it's a cry of an apostolic revival. Your pastor quoted, in the last days, saith God, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. You know what I got to feel? I think it's revival time in Birmingham, Alabama, because it's almost midnight. I got this feeling that some backsliders are getting ready to come home. There's some brand new people getting ready to walk through those doors that have never been here before, because something is stirring in this world saying,
It's almost midnight. They're making movies about it. They're writing books about it. The secular world's trying to find out when is he coming. Interest in eschatology is at an all-time high. They all want to know, when is he coming? You know, I hope it's not something in the heart of modern man that says, if I can know the exact day, if I can know the exact hour, then just before midnight, I'll make a headlong rush to an altar. How many of you were in church and remember that guy wrote that book called 88 Reasons? Anybody remember that? I remember that September 9th in 1988, when sinners filled our altars from right to left, because a man wrote a book that said, in the morning, he's coming. In case you didn't notice, he missed it. But can I tell you, no matter how many times men predict and men miss the mark, midnight is still coming. I hope it's not something in the heart of modern man that says, if I can know the exact time, then just before the 0 hour, I'll get things right with God. Can I talk to some people standing right here right now? This is no hour to be in church and out of church. This is no hour to be up and down. This is no hour to be straddling the fence. Come on, Alabama. It's time to get in this thing with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, because it's almost midnight. I tell you, when it gets to midnight, there's not going to be any time for a Lord have mercy. There won't be any time for a last minute headlong rush to an altar. You know why? My Bible said when he comes, he's coming, two in the bed, two in the field. One's going to be taken and the other's going to be left. And somebody's going to forever be lost without God. Church, it's almost midnight in this place. It's almost midnight in this place. You're in this building, you've never been water baptized. It's time to get baptized, because it's almost midnight. You never repented of your sins. It's time to repent of your sins. It's almost midnight. You've never been filled with the glorious gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's time now, because it's almost midnight. I want to commission this church this afternoon. I want you to call somebody this afternoon. You got to stop by the house, do it. If we're going to play games and just have church and preach messages and sing cute little songs and cute little messages, we should have done that 10 years ago. We're closer to the door than we've ever been before. If we're going to have revival, it's time to have it now. We're going to see our family saved. It's time to see them saved now. It's time to reach this city right now. Are you ready? As Pastor Clark would say, are you really ready? Father, I thank you for what I feel in this place. I thank you for the feeling of expectancy that fills this room right now. I thank you, Father, that we don't stand in this place today by chance, that we don't stand here today by mere coincidence. We didn't come today because we didn't have anything else to do. Father, you have brought us to the kingdom for such a time as this. I'm just asking you, Father, in the conclusion of this service today, that you stir something up within us. Lead us to somebody this afternoon. Put us in the right place at the right time, in front of the right people. In spite of every adversary, in spite of the devil, we're going to bless you at all times, and your praise will continually be in our mouth. We bless you here today. Would somebody put your hands together and just bless the Lord here this morning?